and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 168. I'm joined this week by Sam.
Crickets.
And this week we're doing a very special episode. The Simpsons did it first. I don't know if you are a fan of South Park.
A very special episode.
But yeah, there's an episode of South Park. But
real deals with being child molestation. Is that it? Is that one of the special episodes they used to do?
Yes, it was. Actually, it was an episode of Different Strokes.
Oh, there you go. So always run away from strangers. The more you know. Bring, and just end it right there. And that's...
Were there very special episodes when you were growing up?
Go on.
I was going to say, I'm sure there were special episodes, but, like, you know, they get their names because it used to be like how you'd advertise it. Like, this is a can't-miss episode for you and your family. This very special episode.
No, I don't think... I think those were all gone by the time I started watching TV. Like, the first shows I can remember watching are Barney, where every episode teaches you important things, but not like that. I don't think they ever had an episode where Barney had to talk about how he was molested by his uncle.
That's a Spider-Man comic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't. I think that was gone by the time I was growing up. It was like Barney, and then I didn't really watch Teletubbies as a kid, thank God. But Thomas the Tank Engine didn't really have any very special episodes to it, to my knowledge.
These would be a bit older, like maybe when you were like 10 or
yeah, because they took away the requirement to do to have educational TV like that. I think that was an 80s thing.
Well, they didn't take it away. They actually made it more like before it was you can get away with these episodes. Now you kind of have to have some type of educational program in. And what a lot of people did is instead of like doing Saturday morning cartoons or after school cartoons, that's where they put their educational shows now, so that you can say like, "Oh, we have it. Look, there's a baby Einstein or something like that. Look, it's on TV. Nobody watches it."
Yep.
Because that was going to bring me up to my other question. Huh. And, you know, there is an age gap. There's about, I think, 10 years between us, something like that. You are 22?
22, yep.
Okay, so 7. But, yeah, like, we also had, like you mentioned with Barney, but our cartoons also had that kind of very special, like, there were a lot of cartoons growing up where they had, like, the PSAs at the end of them. G.I. Joe's had them, you know, Transformers had them, you know, and no one is half the battle and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
The only reason that was brought up in my generation was as a punchline. Like,
yeah.
The shows I watched would make fun of the now you know, no, like, that stuff, but we never had it legitimately in those episodes. In fact, one of the things I really love is from, oh, God damn it. What's the guy's name that made SpongeBob? I don't know why I think you would know this. I know his name. I don't know. Steven Hillenburg. There we go. What he said was he purposefully didn't put morals and, like, lessons in SpongeBob because kids see that coming from a mile away and migrate away from those types of shows when he started making it. And looking back on it, I'm like, that's probably why I like SpongeBob so much, because it was stupid and didn't try to teach me anything. And I respect it so much for that.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily know if that's true because, I mean, like I said, we still think fondly of G.I. Joe. We think fondly of Transformers. I mean, it was Earth Day this past week, and my generation still kind of, I don't know if we ironically fondly back on it, but we still think of Captain Planet, and that was an entire show contrived around the idea of teaching.
I'm pretty sure all love for Captain Planet's ironic, though. I don't think. Captain Planet was on in some form or fashion when I was growing up. I can't remember what channel or where, but I remember watching more than one episode of Captain Planet.
It was TBS.
I think it may not have been when I watched it.
It was either TBS or Cartoon Network.
Cartoon Network.
Captain Planet was a brainchild of Ted Turner.
Yeah, I watched Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon growing up.
Yeah, this is his brainchild. This was his baby, and this is why it has so many episodes and it lasted so long. He was an environmentalist, and this was his message to kids. But yes, I mean,
buy one of those suits, by the way? Because I've had an idea for, like, a set of vines for forever. This is Captain America being a dick to people. Like, it's a vine that starts inside this guy's car, and he sips a beer and chucks it out the window, and then he looks to his right. Captain America's sitting on the side of the road just giving him the double bird as he drives by, and that would make a wonderful 7-second-long video.
Well, I mean, most of it you could probably make, because he is
naked. A normal person could probably make.
But, yeah, you can buy, like, Captain Panic costumes at most Halloween, like places that would sell Halloween costumes and the like. So right. That would work.
Were you about to say he didn't? He was mostly naked.
I was, because his costume is basically underwear and a top. Like his body's blue. It's not like it's a blue suit.
Confirm this now. Let's see. Captain Planet.
Yeah,
let me type this into Tumblr of all places just to increase the odds of this being horribly risky. Fair enough. Yep, he has like a half a shirt on. Like maybe. Like a bra.
It's like somebody cut off his V-neck and just left the V there.
Yeah, how did I never notice that when I was a kid?
But yeah, that's the thing. It's underwear, it's that weird shirt, and it's, for some reason, gloves and boots, and that's his costume. The rest of them pretty much naked.
So how many other cartoon characters in my life have been wearing almost no clothes, and I've just never noticed? I feel like there are many.
I think most of them are ones, it tends to be animals. Like, you don't really realize that Donkey Kong is, until you realize he's just wearing a tie, and you wonder why.
Huh, yep. Sonic's just wearing shoes.
Again.
why do these cartoon characters just have some clothes?
Yeah, it's like they just figure that we have to make them more human so we give them something, but it only draws attention to the fact that everything else is naked.
Right.
Diddy only wears a hat. Daffy and Bugs wear no clothes. There's a lot, like I said, a lot of cartoon characters, but it tends to be animals. You don't tend to get, actual cartoon characters. I guess except for maybe the females. Like, Betty and Wilma from the Flintstones aren't wearing a ton of clothes either.
Right. But there's at least kind of full clothes.
Yeah. And honestly speaking, it's still a very classy look for them. It's an ages look. I mean, I guess it's because it's like one color dress that they always wear, but whatever.
Right.
But yeah, Captain Planet, like I said, it's funny. It's just weird.
He's the most human wearing the least clothes that I can think of.
Yeah. He's on a children's show, I would imagine.
Yeah,
Well, no, I would actually say maybe He-Man.
I have to do a side-by-side comparison here, but you might be right about that. I never watched He-Man.
He-Man doesn't even have gloves. He just has on, like, nope. I don't know.
Yep, a man thong type thing.
Yeah, and then I don't know what you call that chest protector.
Should have turned on the safe search options before I Googled He-Man. All right, let's just erase that from my brain.
I would always say if you Google in or Tumblr searching for any cartoon characters or video, always have the safe search.
That's
nothing
probably
else. I do not search for certain things anymore. Like, I once searched for Pokemon, and I was surprised as to what people came up with. So I know I'm going to search for Pokemon. If it finds me, I'm okay.
By the way, when did that become a thing? Do you, like, I know how early you started using the internet, but when did drawing cartoon characters in sexual positions become, like, not normalized per se, but a thing you will see on the internet if you exist on it for any period of time?
I imagine always. I mean, it's a thing that kids did when they were younger, and it just kind of...
Did they? None of my friends did that I'm aware of. Maybe they're all just good at hiding it, I don't know, but...
I'm sure, and maybe your friends didn't. I know people who were, you know, and kind of going old school, you know, who used to ship characters from Dragon Ball Z and draw them like half naked and stuff like that. I don't know if, you know, you don't probably aren't as overt with their sexual actions.
Right.
If you're
I was going to say, I did draw Dragon Ball Z characters, but not
yeah, you don't
sort of create a fashion. I just that was the first time I learned how to draw in air quotes, and I just sketched over Dragon Ball Z characters in my little notebook.
But yeah, I think it's one of those things where and I think, you know, it's the same thing with anonymity online. It's like, it allows them an avenue to kind of express themselves in a way that they wanted to, but you don't kind of do get shunned if you, like, I wouldn't want to see my friends drawing of a K-Man and Captain Planet going at it or something like that.
Right.
But
I mean, now I might ironically, but, you know, most times.
Online now, it's a thing. I mean, I think DeviantArt was the biggest contributor to that, because that does seem to be the place where a lot of people tend to... I mean, I think that and now, of course, Tumblr, because people do kind of go after that.
Yeah, I just looked up when DeviantArt was made, and August 7th, 2000 is when the site went online. So, at least since then. That is very old. The internet is old.
No, I mean, you ask. I think I started using the internet, I guess, in like 97, 98. Uh-huh. So I've been around for a while. But, you know, back in those days, you didn't look at pictures because they took forever to download. And then that's going to sound weird to people now. Like, pictures took forever to download.
Right.
Like, now you watch entire movies streaming on your connection. But before, like, a picture would be like something you left there for 5 minutes and hope nobody called your house phone.
Right. I think I started using the internet, let's see. I remember dial-up being a thing. I don't remember visiting any sites personally on dial-up. Like, I think that was mostly a thing my family used, and it existed, but it was sort of I'm not allowed to use the internet because of it. So I think I didn't start using the internet until, it's not DSL, because DSL is dial-up, right? Or am I?
No.
No.
Well, DSL is a former dial-up, but it's not the same thing. Because it runs through your phone, but it's like a split connection where like, the dial actually, it was like making a phone call.
Okay. Well, whatever came after those, I don't, wherever you could use the phone and the internet at the same time, that's when started using the internet.
Yeah, and I think
RuneScape made, that's the first memory I have of being a nerd on the internet.
I have way too many, so we won't get into that. But yes.
I remember downloading like Dragon Ball Z GIFs to my desktop. There's a feature where you could like find GIFs and just move them around onto your desktop background. And I don't ever remember seeing those again for a very long time. But RuneScape started in January 2001. So that sounds kind of close to when I would have started using the internet.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that have changed. Like you mentioned GIFs and backgrounds. It's another thing that nobody seems to use or even mention anymore. Or, like, screensavers. Like, you don't hear people talk about that anymore.
Right. So I just had a thought. Like, I was looking at the dates, and I saw, like, January 1st, 2001. I was trying to think what in my mind happened around that time. And for some reason, a very vivid memory in my life is the home run race in baseball in 1999 between Ken Griffey Jr., Sammy Sosa, and Mark McGwire. And for whatever dumb reason, that is one of the memories that I can remember very vividly about my life that had absolutely nothing to do with it. I was just wondering, like, what events that are weird like that that you can look back on your life and think, I specifically remember doing this at this time and what year it was, and, like, the memory of that.
Well, I mean, a lot of that.
Tell time, like, a stage of your life.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, like, a lot of that I use as barometers of time. Like, there's stuff I remember, and I remember Fonji, even if in the grand scheme of things, it's not that important to me personally. Like, one thing I remember, and this is, I mean, I'm a huge wrestling fan, so this goes, you know, so this makes sense that it is part of my life. But, I guess this would be 89 or something like that, when Macho Man and Hulk Hogan were tag team partners, and they had this very cheesy music video. And it was set to a very, as I grew up and found out recently, it's a very niche song, but that song has always stood with me. And I honestly don't know any other source of that song. And it only aired like once or twice on TV, and I was like four or five, but that has always stayed with me. And I found it on YouTube. I literally searched it when I remembered that one time Macho Man and Hulk Hogan shook hands and the entire music video came. And that's one of the great things about technology.
Oh, I love random memories like that. Growing up, like, especially in the early days of the internet, you'd find something, you'd be like, that's hilarious, and then can never find it again because it's 10 years old. Like, there was one Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged series video, except it wasn't the official one. It was like a knockoff Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged series video with some people that I saw at a point in my life that had a line in it that my friends and I just kept quoting over and over and over again for 6, 7, 8, 10 years later. And it's a video that I'll never be able to find again, and nobody else ever saw it because it had like 50 views, so no one else really knows of its existence. It's just this small part of history that only like the two of us remember.
Oh gosh, that drives me nuts, and it also drives me nuts when people do that. It's, you know, tip of the tongue phenomenon when you remember something but you can't remember it exactly.
Right.
But you have, and my friend, like, you know, people.
Oh, you remember it and don't remember the name. That happens all the time with internet stuff.
Yeah, like you remember vivid details, but you don't remember the actual thing. And
go
okay,
try to
one
find us on YouTube while you're talking, by the way.
One, I'm just going to make fun of Tumblr real quick. I hate when people say, "Do you remember?" And then it's something like Rugrats or something like SpongeBob, where it's like, "Yeah, of course, everybody."
Nope, I had a massive head injury whenever I was 10 years old. I don't remember any of this existing. Yeah.
Yeah, like, that stuff is easy to remember. Like, it exists. But like an example I use, a very obscure example, is Teen Angel, which is a show that aired on TGIF for one season about a friend who died after eating a hamburger under his friend's bed. And he comes back to kind of be his angel. And it's like, it's an obscure show that aired, I think, like 8 episodes for like half a season on TGIF. Now, if you remember that, that is something to brag about. Or I don't necessarily know if you want to brag about that. But it is that's something more like, oh yeah, I lived in this era because I actually remember this show. You remember Ninja Turtles? Oh man, I remember Ninja Turtles. Whatever happened to them other than the new movie and the TV show? I don't know.
Right. So,
yeah, it's weird when people are like that. But I bring it up because, and I forgot the name of the show and it's going to drive me nuts now. I remember a few years ago, my friend had called me up back when people actually used the telephone to call people.
What?
And he was like,
they do that?
He was like, oh man, I'm going to go to you. I'm trying to think of this show. And it was like this animated show, it was an animated show that aired prime time on like, the CW back when it was the WB network. And he went on to describe it, and for the life of me, I could not remember what the hell it was. So I spent like the next 2 weeks trying to figure it out. And it was like some American cartoon. Like it was, the name of it had America in it somewhere. And it was like this obscure thing, but it drives me nuts whenever somebody brings it up, and then I don't know what it is because I have to find out.
Right.
And I guess just as a personal trait, it's the same thing when somebody says, I have something to tell you. Oh, never mind. Because at that point, you've got me. I want to know what it is now.
Right, yeah, yeah. So even if it's terrible, you have to know. You have to have closure on that thought.
So, like, even if you kind of drift off and go somewhere else, it's fine. The moment you say, oh, never mind, it means, like, okay, now I need to know.
Right.
Because you set it up, and now you took it away from me. So I need more than anything to know. And I think a few people know this because they were always it's that carrot chasing stuff. But yeah.
Do you have any games with memories like that?
Played
before that you're like, I don't remember the name of this, but I can describe it to somebody and they'll think you're crazy for it existing.
Not so much. I mean, I have memories of games, but I've been able. I think just because the gaming industry has grown up so much, the internet. Yeah.
The only thing I could think of like that would maybe be Flash games that I played, because I played a ton of those, but I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and then there's stuff that were kind of Flash in the pants. I'm sure people remember, but you don't, like Neopets, I have one of those. I had a Tamagotchi.
Yep.
You know, stuff like
that. How many people use Neopets nowadays?
Is Neopets still a thing?
Oh, I think it got even more popular, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not recently, but I am almost positive it's still a thing. But keep going. I'm going to go look up. Jesus, that game came out Neopets came out November 15th, 1999.
Yeah.
Was sold to Jumpstart for an unannounced amount in March 17th, 2014.
Oh, wow, it was sold recently.
Very recently. Also, Jumpstart still exists. That's news.
They even got their website even has been upgraded.
Jumpstart.com. Or are you looking at Neopets?
Yeah.
Jumpstart.com, not very updated, but you should go to it. Also, my internet's breaking because it, like, JavaScript's not loading things correctly because it keeps freezing whenever I open up YouTube. And
I was about to say, JavaScript is such a pain in the ass. I swear it crashes way too often in Chrome for me.
See how much of the Neopets map I recognize. Oh, I probably can't. Oh, this looks... I don't even know how to navigate this anymore. Neopets was where I first learned that people online will scam you out of your stuff in video games. That was the most friend account hacking that's ever happened. Like, people would go and, like, type in my dog's name or my... And I'd do it to other people, too. You know, like, go into their accounts, you'd find their email address, then type in their dog's name, and then type in some of their favorite things or any passwords you may have known they've used, and so much fake money got stolen and so many friendships ended in elementary school because of that.
I am happy then that I had Neopets, but I guess we were beyond that stage.
Oh man.
What's
the first instance of your life that you remember of you being scammed? Are you realizing that not everybody in the world is nice?
excellent. That is it. I actually think I'm on the other end of that, and I won't get into too much on the podcast because I don't want to incriminate myself. But yeah,
you just did the thing you talked about.
Well, I will have
a story, and you want to hear the end of the story, and you're like, no, never mind. You just
I have no problem sharing it with you off air, but I'm not going to confess to stuff I've done. And it's the reason why I'm not...
Like 5 years, you're fine.
I'm sure a lot of it has passed, but I feel awful about it, and there's a reason I cut off certain friends from my eyes. But yes,
cut them off, and there's no way that they listen to your podcast.
Oh, no, I'm not, I don't care about them. No, I mean, there was a time when I was
tell
into...
Tell the least offensive one.
I guess this was back when I was younger. I still actually don't know how to write checks, but I wanted to, and this is going to sound really nerdy, I wanted to get some books from a book sale, so I stole checks from my parents, and I tried to forge them, and my teachers caught me because I don't know how to write checks, and I screwed up the entire segment, but, yeah.
Okay.
And I guess a more innocent one, and this is actually one that kind of sticks with me, even though I'm still friends with this person. I have a terrible sense of humor. I think if you know me well enough, you know that.
You've listened to this podcast for this many episodes. You're
a So yeah, I remember in junior high school, like one of the first weeks in school. Like I said, I'm not a great human being. I've always confessed to that. And there was a girl who hadn't developed yet. And I, we were in geography about longitude and latitude, and for some reason I made like a fatitude joke about her chest. And I told my friend, and he literally turns around and tells her I said this. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I'm like, I told you
this. What age range was this?
I guess it's junior high school, so I was like 13.
Okay. 14. So really, no girls had developed that much yet.
Some had.
I remember.
But yeah, I was just like, really? Like, I told you this, not for you to turn. If I wanted to get in trouble, I could have told the parents.
You could have told it. Oh, man. My friend in elementary school, like, do you ever have the classes where you'd have two teachers and have to switch back and forth desks between them? I don't know how many people have done. Like, you have one grade, like, through fifth grade, we'd have two teachers. So we'd spend half the day in one and then half the day in the other. And you have, like, an assigned desk for each one.
I mean, we had to switch classrooms. So, I mean, that was not like high school. Yeah, it's really, I know what you're talking about, like, you stay in the classroom and the teachers change.
Kind of, except ours were two teachers were across the hall, and we'd get up and walk to the other teacher the second half of the day. Well, my friend got in desk wars with that situation that ended in, like, so, like, he'd put something in his desk, and then it'd disappear, so it can only be the other person that sits at your desk that could have taken it, but we never really saw the other people, so it'd disappear, and he'd get mad about it, and then one day he hit razor blades inside his desk, and the person went in to take stuff out of his desk and just fucked up her hand. It ended up being a girl. He got in a decent amount of trouble for that one, but that was fifth grade, so fifth graders can be pretty pretty serious when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting moment. We also got in trouble, same friend. He's actually my roommate now.
So you're just sharing his dirt?
Yeah, he can probably hear me right now. It's fine. We got in trouble for starting a video game rental business in seventh grade, I think. Or eighth grade, or in middle school. We posted flyers all around the school, and I was being sneaky about it. I'm like, so to contact us, go to this website, and there will be an email address link, and then click on that, and then you can email us. Like, okay, I think we use FreeWebs for the website, too, because that was the way to do it back then. So I'm like, okay, cool, we're all secretive. And then he goes and makes his own flyer, and is like, hey, for video games, talk to Sam Neill and Will Prince. So that went on for about a week and a half before we both got called down to the principal's office, getting in trouble for it. And also, it turned into we knew how torrents worked, or I guess LimeWire worked, and a lot of people in our grade didn't, so we would just pirate CDs and sell them to our friends, which is very illegal. Like, video games are
I don't see why renting video games is a bad thing,
but it is illegal.
Licenses
to rent video games. I get what you mean. It doesn't seem like it'd be bad, but music piracy and selling the CDs, straight up illegal. There's no, like, gray area there. We were just fronting pirate music. And that was our most successful thing, too. Like, nobody paid for video games, but a lot of people paid to have CDs burned.
Yeah, that reminds me of two stories, and going back to the point about not trusting people. And I'm still somewhat friends with these people, this person, but this was kind of, this is more like a Facebook friendship.
That's most of friendships now.
Yeah, back in first or second grade, so this is a while ago, you know, like, you know, trading video games, because you always traded video games back in those days with your friends and stuff like that. And I forgot what game I was going to trade, but my friend had this Sesame Street game, and he sold me on the Sesame Street game as the best game ever. Big Bear was able to fly, he was able to attack people, I was so excited to go home and play this Big Bird game. I got it. I played. It's an entertainment game. I'm like, what the hell? And I went, he's like, I just wanted your game, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? You screwed me over for this. And then
Pokemon cards too. Really, my brother. He traded like his Pikachu for, or traded his Blastoise for some kid's Pikachu, and that's like a memory that, because the kid convinced him, because it was the Pikachu card. The Pikachu has like a purple thing behind it, so the kid convinced him that it was a purple haired Pikachu and that it was very rare. So it's like, no way, and then trades his Blastoise for it, and then that was the first instance he learned of people messing you over. And I think he told my dad, and my dad was like, "Well, you learned how the world works now, didn't you?"
Yeah, I was about to say, these are probably some great businessmen now.
Right.
The other thing was, and this, again, going into the stuff I've done, we didn't sell CDs in college, but, you know, back, this was early in the piracy days, even before torrents, you had stuff like Kazaa, Shazara.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, so we had servers on our school campus, so basically, like, we would have, like, I had one friend who had, like, 500 movies, so anytime you wanted to watch a movie, you just hop on his server, and he had downloaded all these pirated movies, and you just watch it, and it would stream, because, you know, campus connections all connected, so it would stream extremely fast.
Right.
One dude who had gigs and gigs of porn, which I always found sketchy, because you know the other person can see what you're doing on it.
Right. This is college?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's make sure.
Yeah, this was, I was basically the cartoons guy, so people would ask me for cartoons, like, it's, you know, back.
I have a special story to this, but keep
yeah,
going.
We don't, you know, like, it's not, like, nowadays where you have Netflix and DVDs and stuff like that, you can find TV shows all the time, but back then, you know, I had, like, the Batman stuff, I had, you know, Gall Girls, I had, like, DuckTales, all these shows, and that was, which, and again, you know, it's all, I would even do the fake new movies. I remember when I got Kill Bill 2, Volume 2, before it came out. I think, like, Amazing Spider-Man and stuff like that. You didn't care about the quality because it's free.
Right, yep. The early day of streaming media was fantastic. I know you're not talking about streaming, but...
Well, I mean, it was a form of streaming for them because, like, you just kind of have your computer running. Like, some people later on, they just got, like, the dedicated, like, computers that just were for these things.
Oh, okay.
Like the Kairos networks, like, you couldn't get people from outside to do it, which always sucked because, like, my friends would move off campus and think, how do I, because, like, the porn one was, like, Pirate of Porn. Like, how do I access Pirate of Porn? I'm like, I don't know.
Do the secret knock and say the passphrase and kind of use the word plumper schnickel in a sentence casually. I got suspension over doing something very similar to that in high school. I put Halo PC in the school networks. And I guess I was dumb enough to do it from my account that I logged in from, so they just kind of went through the system. Like, oh, Sam Neill, guess what? Come to suspension. And then those 3 days in suspension were fantastic, because I cut a hole in the middle of a book and put my Game Boy in it, and I just played Pokemon for 3 days, like, leaned over on my side.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get into the educational system, but I've always found suspensions to be such an odd concept, because you're basically rewarding somebody who doesn't want to be in school by not...
That's...
Either by
it was
keeping
in school
home,
suspension, so I wasn't
He wasn't, like, home free, but you're not doing anything.
Right. I had to do, like, two assignments, and I'd get them done in 10 minutes.
You do less work. Because they don't have somebody dedicated to it, and if they do, it's, like, it's not, like, one grade or one level. So you can't really teach them. So it's basically, like, oh, you're not going to – and, you know, oh, you're punished because you can't keep up with stuff. It's like, yeah, but again, if you're in suspension, that's probably not a big deal to you.
Right, yeah. And I guess I put a kid in a chokehold and got suspension for that. Two things.
But that's just anger issues.
Well, he was annoying. I was definitely the bully in that situation, which I don't feel great about. But he was very annoying for a long time. But not even that he could help. It was just his voice annoyed me. And then one day he accidentally stepped on my shoe and I just snapped. So I was that kid in eighth grade, and I've never, I feel bad about that because I've never thought of myself as a bully. I'm an asshole. I have accepted this. The things I say will be, I try to be funny and take it way over the line, but I don't like intentionally bullying people or thinking of myself like that, and that's the worst instance I can think of me doing something like that.
And this is why they should have those educational shows that teach you the lessons at the end. If SpongeBob had done it, you wouldn't have been doing these things.
SpongeBob absolutely had an episode about a school bully. I remember this very clearly. He could not get beaten up because he was a sponge. The more you know. Be a sponge. Yeah. Don't get hit by school bullies.
I don't know why that would work. I don't know how the whole SpongeBob thing works, but we aren't going to talk about SpongeBob. I'm trying to think of...
I could do episodes on SpongeBob.
Well, maybe at some other point, because I'm sure you, Dan, and Justin are from that era, and I'm sure Sean and I are from a different one. Well, I know we are because of our age difference, but... And you don't, I mean, it's not that, like, now it's not that big of a deal, but it is a culturally, it's a huge deal, because there's a lot of stuff that kind of, I mean, like, if you think about it, 7 years would be, like, other than this past one, that would be an entire video game generation difference or something like that. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm trying to think of other things that have changed, like, that would have changed between that. I mean, I guess the other thing would have been you folks, I guess you did have after-school cartoons, but not the same way we did, if that makes sense. Because I think when it was, I could be mistaken, because again, for you, it would have been stuff at Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah, yeah. Though, to be fair, I remember watching a lot of things that I didn't realize were made in the 60s and 70s. Like, Tom and Jerry played all the time, and I love Tom and Jerry, and I didn't realize how old that show was, or Scooby-Doo, or... I don't know if Scooby-Doo was 70s, but I know Scooby-Doo was not made in the late 90s.
and that's the same thing with me. I mean, there was I grew up, especially with Cartoon Network, when that came around, because I was around for the start of that. But when that came around, they used to show, like, the Flintstones, they used to show the Smurfs, they used to show Scooby-Doo, they used to show this, you know, Tom and Jerry, they used to show, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. And those cartoons were way before my time. It's the same thing. It was just kind of the same thing with Nick at Night, where you had, like, your Brady Bunch.
Nick at Night.
Yeah, Eye of Lucy and stuff like that. And again, that's kind of, you know, like how we mentioned sometimes you judge your life based on those things. It was like when Nick at Night started showing stuff like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Rosanna. Like, I'm old now. Because these are the shows I was watching as a kid, and now it's on Nick at Night. Even though,
those are the shows I watched as a relative kid.
Yeah, I was about to say, to be fair, Nick at Night, for some reason, kind of went through this phase where it just skipped an entire generation, because it didn't really do, like, the 80s much.
Right.
Like, it had a brief period where it had the Cosby Show and Cheers, but then it was, like, fresh. Like, you know, like, when I was growing up, it was, like, 60s and stuff like that, and then they just kind of crossed over to 70s and 80s, and then it was 90s. So, I mean, again, I guess it's because kids weren't I wasn't nostalgic for those shows, but it was the only thing you could watch at that time, because I used to hate when 8 o'clock came, because 8 o'clock meant it was no longer time for kids' shows.
Yep, no more Ninja Turtles. Hello, Boy Meets World.
Yeah, and that was always a bummer for me, especially not even so much on, like, the network channels, because that ended around 5. It was, like, from 3 to 5, and then it would kind of, and then they would kind of have, like, this in-between phase where it would be, like, stuff like Saved by the Bell and, you know, like, tween comedies and stuff like that.
Right.
But then it would kind of be, like,
which is all those channels are now. I see my sister watching them, and they're just all tween comedies.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, I like that I can rewatch shows from my youth, but again, it seems so weird because, and again, I could just be nostalgia speaking. I feel like I guess not even your generation, this current generation, doesn't get as much as we did. Like, I'm not saying that there aren't great shows now, but, like, before, we had, like, 3 or 4 competing networks, you know, on the network TV that were competing for all time, and then you had Cartoon Network, you had Nickelodeon, and now it's just kind of like, you have Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, and that's about it. And even then, they don't dedicate it fully to themselves, because Cartoon Network, I don't know if they do it as much now. They do live-action shows. They started showing movies as well. So it's like, okay, we're just going to fill up this time. We're not going to show you replays of cartoons from the 80s and 90s, you know, stuff that we were exposed to. But at the same time, I guess it, you know, it works out that if you have Netflix or if you have Amazon, you have access to a ton of stuff at your own leisure.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, like my sister is, I think, 9 years old, and I don't think she will ever live in an era that she can't just get all of her content on demand instantly.
Yeah, and I think that's funny. I think that speaks to a lot of things, especially I think how TV's handled. Where, like, back in my day, so sound dated. Like, you missed a show, you missed a show.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't, like, I miss a show. I don't even, like, I don't, like, I used to schedule your time around TV. Nowadays, it's like, oh, I'll miss it. It'll probably be up on Hulu or the site the next day.
That's what I thought was so interesting about the Breaking Bad finale, is it was, like, the one time I could think of where everybody I know came together to watch a show at a specific time. Like, for me, the experience of watching 24 is long gone, and that's the one that I specifically remember. Like, I would go every Monday night. I guess I do Game of Thrones like that, but Game of Thrones isn't as long of a season, and it feels kind of different because I do stream it, so, or illegally or otherwise. But 24 was the one. Every Monday night, I would be there at 8 o'clock and watch that episode for an hour, and that was part of my life, and then I'd go talk to my friends about it the next morning, and it was just... It was an interesting experience that won't really happen again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I will still probably do 24. I guess I won't do it live because it's on Mondays. But,
right.
But yeah, especially like, even now when I work, it's kind of like, okay, I'll save some shows, and if you get some downtime at the office, I'll watch it then because it helps fast the day and stuff like that. So it's really weird how technology has evolved for the better. But it is weird, like, you know, like, you, I guess, I don't even want to sound nostalgic because this was never my family, but you do get those images of, like, the olden days where, like, families used to sit around the one TV in their house and they all agree on a show to watch. Like, it's not, like, we don't even have that now. Like, I've had multiple TVs for years now. Even when in college, we had multiple TVs, so we'd watch two shows at the same time in our dorm room.
Right.
So, yeah, it's time has changed, and again, for the better. It's just, you know, like, I guess it depends. Like, if you don't know the days, you probably won't care, but I remember just coming home at 3 in the afternoon or whatever, and being able to pick from all of these different shows. But I have friends who are parents now, and they tell me it's part of tea because kids have much busier schedules nowadays. They don't
Ooh,
get home.
God, the fact that I'm... like, almost out of school and coming up in the age where I can say I can have friends that have parents is horrifying to me.
Well, you could have friends who are parents at any time.
I can. But I don't. I choose not to. If that happens, they're really generally not my friends anymore for the most part at this point in my life.
I just know
there's going to be a point where I can't avoid that.
That's just, I guess to me, it's, and it does, there's no moment, but it is a realization at some point. It goes from, oh God, I can't believe you got somebody pregnant, to, congratulations, when is it due? When is the baby shower? And I don't know when that point was, but it happens, and you kind of realize, like, this is the point where you transition, where it's no longer like, it's an accident. It's like, you're happy for your friends, and you want, you know, like, when's the baby shower? Where are you registered? Is it a boy or a girl? And stuff like that, and...
That's going to take a lot of doing, because I don't see me being happy for other people's kids for quite some time.
But why?
I don't like kids. My girlfriend does not like kids. Neither of us like kids, so...
You don't have to like kids to be happy that somebody is having one.
Kinda.
Why?
Because I'll probably have to put up with it via Facebook.
Put up with it?
Yeah, I have to live that kid's life on Facebook or Twitter or wherever...
Yeah,
I mean, I don't. I usually block them, but...
Oh, well, you are... Kids, you are out of my life. Bye.
You look at... You like putting up with other people's Facebook posts on kids?
I am not getting myself in trouble. I do know some of my friends who listen to this show are parents. So I...
Hey, parents, I don't give a fuck about your kids. You care about your kids a lot more than I do, and I know they're all of your life, and that's why you post them on Facebook, but I just... God damn, I can't. That's one thing that I cannot deal with on social media.
Wow, then you would hate my timeline most of the time.
Ugh, probably so.
I'm in no hurry to have my own, but I am happy when my friends do, or even my sister.
And I wonder why we don't take questions on this show. Fuck that guy, he's such an asshole. I'm never listening to another one again.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this has really been an odd podcast. Is there, I mean, it's really kind of been just a generational change, I guess.
Yep.
But is there anything else you want to say before, I guess, we begin to wrap up?
I think that about does it. I'm very surprised this
people.
Podcast has gone on for this long, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. As always, you can find us at... You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, which I don't even know how much longer that's going to be.
That's bad to say. Can you find people in Google+?
I was about to say, because it seems like there's rumors circulating that they may be phasing that out, which
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised about. It has been a rather fruitful failure.
I always put my Google+ to see if anything has any pluses on it. The highest plus I can get to is 6, and that is a very popular person. Or a person with like 30,000 Twitter followers. Oh, nope, Greg Miller has +67, which is still relatively nothing compared to all of his other social networks. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, if somebody has a +7, +6, and I assume it's the same, because there are certain people I know who just like to, like, I always, like, usually whenever I update my Google+, it's to remind people that I have a Google+, and nobody talks to me. So usually, like, one or two people are like, I'm still here, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm past that. I used to hit that point where you go on Google+, and everything you'd see, it would be, people still use this, and that's the most common Google+ post, but... No,
yeah.
We're past that.
I mean, to be fair, part of it is also because I can control the Google+ account from our Hootsuite. Wow.
Hootsuite.
Yeah, so I don't even have to go on it. It just updates. But this, I honestly don't even know how you invite people to it, because like, we have like 13 people on it.
The domain name hootsuite.com, totally open. Just so y'all know, listeners. Yeah.
But yes, you can find us there. You can find Sam at Sneevu.
SNEALIV.
Yes. You can find me at @_N.
I feel like I need to change that, but the process of changing it across all my networks would confuse the few people who do know who I am. And it's perfectly fine as a word you read, just not as a word I can say.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense once you know it, but to try to
I can't say it and people know it. I can't say it and people will know how to spell it, and that's my biggest problem with it. But it's short enough to tweet and still have room to put other things in the tweet. So I hate people that have Twitter names that are like 12 characters long. It's 12 characters that I don't get to use for my tweet.
Yeah, especially being that if you get into any of those long strings.
Cough, 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 gigawatt conduit. Way too many letters in that Twitter name.
To be fair, my original one, I think, was something like 11 or 12 characters, which is why I eventually shortened it to this and then changed it again. Well, I shortened it to something else and then changed it to this one, which is still long, but there was nothing in between that I could find of interest. Like, my name would still be longer than this.
Right.
And my
is, I have 15 characters long. And he has 1,000 Twitter followers. I did not know that. You have, like, 1,500 Twitter followers. Where do you get all these people from? I have like 500.
Honestly,
I guess
speaking,
you run a website, so that's a thing.
I was about to say, honestly speaking, I have no idea. Like, I can't. Like, I honestly don't know how it happened, and I can't replicate it for the life of me.
Right.
It was just. I honestly don't know, because I've been stuck at this area for a while, and I know it sounds weird to complain about when I have it twice as many as you do, but
right, I like. Broke the 540 barrier for the first time in a year recently, and those are my barriers.
I've pretty much been at 1330 for the past 4 or 5 months. Like, it will go up big 2 or 3, and then I do like 3 or 4, and it's just been fluctuating between that for a while. But yeah, I still don't know how I gain followers, especially being that. And I personally hate when people do this. I follow half the people who follow me, and part of it's because I just don't want to bog down my time, and I put so many people.
I need to go through and just clear up my timeline. I wish there was a button on. Is there a third-party app for that where I can just unfollow people right from my timeline?
Well, you can unfollow people right from your timeline by just clicking on their name.
Well, you gotta click on their name and then click on unfollow. I want just a one button.
Well, I mean, we can talk about this off-air.
I guess so.
Yeah, you can find us at nerdsontherocks.com. We have up articles on the Man of Steel sequel. We have our amazing Spider-Cast talking about Spider-Man 2, comic book reviews, our gaming podcast, Dual Wielding, which goes up every Monday, our wiki poll, which is this week based on NES Remix 2, which came out today on the Wii U, asking what is your favorite game featured in that. Tons of other content on the site. Check it out, and we'll be back next week.
Bye! Shell shock.